Dit is tyd vir Radio Helderberg 93.6 FM se Christelike boekprogram. Bly ingeskakel vir die volgende halfuur want ons gesels oor relevante Christelike boeke, tydskrifte, musiek en Bybels vir elke aspek van jou lewe.
Good morning, Patricia McNaught-Davis on the Gospel Book Program, and I wonder where you are right now. Are you at work? I think a great many of you are. We spend 60 to 70% of our lives at work. I'm at work. I've got a great job. Nice to be with you when I'm at my work. But I wonder how you feel about your work. Is work a duty? Is it just an obligation? Are you hanging in there every month just for the paycheck? Or are you really enjoying and making the most of every day? With me in the studio to talk about a brand new book that's just come out called Transform Your Work Life, Turn Your Ordinary Day into an Extraordinary Calling, is the Reverend Dr. Dion Foster. Now, Dion, I know that's a very daunting title, and you sure don't look like a Reverend Doctor, but welcome to the studio this morning.
Thanks, Patricia. Good morning, listeners.
Dion, Reverend Doctor, the very, very big grand title, and you come from a very interesting background in terms of your ministry. You're an academic, a theologian, a church pastor with many years' experience, but you're here, and I don't see no dog collar a mile near you, looking very relaxed. You work now in a civil engineering and construction company. Now, that's a long way from a pulpit, or is it?
Well, Patricia, you know, I mean, God's taken me on an incredibly interesting journey throughout my ministry. You know, from a very, very young age, I was certain that God had called me to serve Him and to serve His kingdom in the world. And one of the things that that the church models for us is that the best way to do that is by being a pastor, a minister of a church. And so when I finished school and went to university in the army, I followed that calling and was very, very blessed doing that. But I soon came to realize that what God was calling me to do was something that was serving God's kingdom, not necessarily within the church. And so did various things. I held an academic post for some years. And a couple of years ago, a friend of mine, Graham Power, with whom I co-authored the book, phoned me and said, "Hey, Dion, I'd love to have someone come and work with me in my company specifically to establish God's kingdom, not only amongst the people who work here, but also to help us transform the systems in our company to reflect the kingdom of God." You know, that is one of the most exciting things that anyone can do. And of course, you don't need to be a pastor to do that. Mm. Every single Christian can do that. So for the last 3 years, God's had me on that journey. And I can tell you, it has been one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
It must certainly be a great conversation starter if you're at a dinner party and somebody asks you where you work and you say, "Well, I work with the power group." And then they say, "What do you do? You're not an engineer, you know, you're not a road builder." And it's very, very interesting indeed to see here is somebody doing the work of the kingdom right out there in the marketplace. But your whole book, Transform Your Work Life, is about that. And I want to introduce Graham Power here. He's not here physically today, but he's very much a force in the book.
Yeah, Graham is the founder and the owner of the Power Group of Companies. And for those of us who live here in the Helderberg, I'm sure we know Power quite well. It's the largest privately owned construction and development, property development company in South Africa. And Graham started it just himself and his wife, Lauren, and a bucky. And it's grown to a massive size. But one of the things that distinguishes Power is that Graham really has seen that his work can be an act of worship, that he can use what he does in his work to glorify God. I was the pastor of a Methodist church here, Coronation Avenue Methodist Church, some years ago. And Graham and his wife, Lauren, and their children started worshiping with us, and they came to know Christ there. And, you know, Graham's life transformed amazingly. I mean, he realized that he not only had to give himself his personal life, but he also had to dedicate his family and his work to Christ and to his cause. And it's been amazing to see how that's transformed the culture in our company. Our byline is unashamedly ethical, and ethics is just one of the things. I mean, we do many things which I write about in the book, obviously, in which we try to say, how can we not only encounter people with the gospel of Christ? I mean, that's always a first thing to do, but how can we use the influence of our company to transform the structures of society? You know, one of the very interesting things is that Graham took the leadership of the company on a journey to the point where now our vision statement is to transform the lives of people in Africa through infrastructure development. Now, if you think about that, Patricia, I mean, that's a thing that must surely bless and please God.
Oh, yes.
When people are moved from shacks into formal housing, when roads are built that make our nation safe and keep the economy going and so help people to live more easily, when hospitals are built and power stations and all sorts of things, that's a physical structural change that declares God's worthiness.
I say, what a blessing on the people that is indeed. Now, you mentioned an important part there. You said in Graham's life, he realized it was not just about the going to church bit. It was not just a kind of personal faith. It was his family. It was the home life. It was the work. And I think it's very easy to compartmentalize, to say, okay, on Sunday, here's an hour for God, and there he is, and then the rest of the week is mine. And I think particularly people feel that church and work they're mutually exclusive. And that often we serve in the church and we teach Sunday school and we lead a group and we're involved there and part of the Lord's ministry, but we're completely different people at work.
Now, Patricia, let me start by saying service in the church is a very high calling. And certainly there are many people whose primary calling is to do that. And that's wonderful. But for the majority of us, our calling is not to spend our most creative, engaged, and the longest hours of our life serving in the church. For most of us, we might spend 2 or 3 hours either in church or around church activities. But just think about this. What does God feel and desire and want for the rest of the hours of your week? And, you know, I write in the book about the 9-to-5 window. For many years in the church, we focused a lot of prayer and mission activity on an area in the world called the 10-40 window.
That's it, yeah.
Where some of the least reached people in the world are. Do you know, I think Christians go into the 9-to-5 window, and that's also an unreached place for the gospel. And just think what it could do if each of the Christians who were listening to this program realized, you know, if I approached my work as ministry, if I prayed about it and said, Lord, show me what you want me to achieve amongst these people, how I can capitalize on my existing networks and relationships, how I can just bless 2 or 3 people around me, gently influence a structure, maybe a leave policy or an ethics policy in the company, or reach a client. Can you imagine how that will transform the world? So that's really one of the things that I think we need to realize. You know, all of our lives can be an act of declaring the worth of who God is and the worth of God's ways. And it's, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to establish God's kingdom. If you think about it, to do that, all you need to do is say, Jesus, you are king where I spend all of my life in my workplace. And so because you're the king, tell me how you want me to do this. Pray about the people that you work with, the meetings that you go into, the challenges that you face, and ask God to speak to you, to lead you, to guide you, and to help you. And I can tell you, you'll begin to see results very, very quickly.
You put it so well in your book. You say, take Jesus to work with you. It's as simple as that. And he's right there with you in your office. He's in the canteen. He's in the kitchen. He's in the boardroom. Take him to work with you. And I think you use another very beautiful word in the book. You say you must be intentional. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that I've realized about my own life, and Patricia, it relates to the thing you mentioned earlier, compartmentalizing faith and work, is that very often I've been quite intentional about my faith part. So, you know, I have my quiet time and I read the scriptures and I seek to serve Jesus. And I think that that's my church bit. But my work I just do in order to perhaps get a salary because I need to survive, or I'm working for a particular promotion. But can you imagine when God comes to the end of your life and he looks at that 60% of your day that you spent in your workplace and said, now, Dion, what did you do for me there? Can you imagine how disappointing it's going to be when we have to say, well, Lord, you know, I never actually thought that you wanted anything done there.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And so it takes just a few simple little things. You know, I teach our executives at Power and all of our employees, but I teach them a few simple little things. The first thing is to say, why not on a Sunday evening before your work week starts, just take your diary, your calendar for the week, and just pray through the days. Have a look at each day. What are the appointments I'm facing? What are some of the pressure points I'm going to meet? Who will be the people that I'll encounter? Who's friendly towards me? Who's not? And just pray about them. Say, Lord, just bless this meeting and go before me in this situation and give me love for this person and give me a solution for this problem. You know, it's amazing how that one simple little act can direct your week under Christ's direction. You suddenly go into the week saying, I'm doing more than just earning money here. I'm doing something that will transform the world for the glory of God.
Now, that's just such an amazing thing. And that really is thinking big. And you say that in this. I mean, God's plan is to transform the world. And that's, and we are the instruments of that. You say an interesting thing about we're not all pastors, but we are ministers. And we take it out wherever we are. We need to be proclaiming the kingdom with us. But I think a lot of people say, oh, but I can't speak. I can't talk. I can't witness to somebody. How do I go about doing this practically? Apart from the praying, and I think that's an absolutely wonderful suggestion, because you've covered the week then in prayer. But gosh, I can't talk to anybody about this.
Well, one of the problems, and I'm glad that I'm a minister, because I can talk about this candidly. One of the problems that we've had in the church is that we've modeled a way of engaging people that is suitable to the congregation, and we've tried to transplant that into the work life. So the way that we do it, and this will sound familiar to many of us, is someone preaches. When people respond to the preaching, we minister to them. So maybe we have an altar call, or we invite them for counseling. When people have been ministered to, we try and move them into a group, so something that's more sustained, so a women's group, a men's group, a Bible study group, a care group, whatever it is. And there we try and deal with some of the habitual things. And then finally, once they've been through those four processes, we've preached, we've ministered, we've got them into a group, then we'll say, okay, now we'll bless you. We'll baptize your children, or we'll marry you, or if you can't pay your rent, come to us and we'll help you. Do you know, the way of Jesus is exactly the opposite way around. If you read Luke chapter 10, he says, when you go into a town, find a man of peace. And then it says, number one, speak blessing upon him. Number two, go into his house and eat whatever he gives you to eat and drink. That's fellowship with him, build a relationship. Number three, it says, heal the sick who are there. Number four, proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Now,
right, so the preaching is only coming right at the end.
Right at the end.
And by that time, you know the guy. He's your pal. You've helped him. You've been together. You've gone through things together.
Absolutely. I mean, we have there's a little testimony just here in the Helderberg, near where I live in Lanten Zierzicht. There's a Shell garage. You may know it. And when I arrived, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, when I moved back to Somerset West, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, the Shell garage. And I thought, my goodness, what does that mean? And this was the thing I began to apply. Number one, bless. So I prayed for that garage every day when I drove past. Just said, Lord, keep those people safe. Bless the customers who come there. Make the business fruitful. But also tangible blessing. Now, the best blessing that you can give a business is business. So I said, I'll fill up my car at that particular Shell garage every time that I need to, and encourage all my friends to do the same. You know, after a couple of weeks going there, I began to know the names of every single one of the persons who work there. Jana, who works behind the till, and Livingston, who serves at the pumps. And I took my family 2-3 Sundays in a row. We rode our bicycles down, and I went and introduced my family. Now, initially, they thought, this guy's crazy.
Absolutely. Yes.
But after a while, they began to see my motive was nothing other than wanting to befriend them.
Yes.
And then those two things, blessing and friendship. The third thing was ministry. After they had experienced what it is to be blessed and built a relationship with me that was trustworthy, people began to respond naturally to ministry. So when I'd pull my car up to fill it up, the guy would come and say, hey, Dion, you know, one of my children is ill. Won't you pray for him? And I say, right, let's just pray right now. Or my wife's going for an interview. Let's just pray right now. You see, ministry is something natural then. People That's know right. that there's a source of blessing. They trust you as a friend, and they'll come to you for prayer. Something interesting happened. One of the guys was having constant problems in his marriage. Every Monday when I'd get there, he'd say, please pray for my marriage. And eventually I said to him, I want to come and meet with you. So when does your shift knock off? And I went and I sat with him. We just sat on the wall outside, and I bought him a cup of coffee. And I said, explain to me what happens. He says, well, every Friday when I finish work and I get my pay packet, I go and drink. And I said, okay. We need to talk about that. And, you know, I went and I met with him and his wife. They live here in Nomzamo. And we spent just 3 sessions together, as I would do with any other couple, talking a little bit about marriage and finances and how to care for one another. I didn't need to preach a sermon to bring the kingdom of God near.
That's it.
Because he knew what it was to be blessed, because he trusted me, because I had ministered to him a number of times, He was willing to hear the word of God. Well, the great news is that him and his wife are reconciled.
That's wonderful.
He stopped drinking.
Yes.
And God's doing an incredible thing just through that simple little Luke 10 process. Bless, fellowship, minister, preach. You know, anyone can do that in their workplace.
Yes.
You can
yes.
begin to bless your colleagues today where you are, praying for them, building a relationship with them. So it's a
That's wonderful. And that is the voice of Dion Foster. He's the co-author of Transform Your Work Life, Turn Your Ordinary Day into an Extraordinary Calling. That's the book that he's written with the inspiration of Graham Power. And it's the book we're reviewing today on the Gospel Book Program on Radio Helderberg 93.6 FM. We're going to listen to a little bit of Darlene Zech here, Change Your World. And with this book, certainly a very inspiring book, to be looking at how every day you can be bringing the kingdom of God into your workplace.
Though I'm many miles away, how could I forget the day I held you close? My heart was changed forever. Though I'm many miles away, I'll forever hear you say, I am your child. Please, will you love me? Won't you stay?
Darlene Zech, Change Your World, and we're talking about changing the world through your workplace. My guest in the studio, Dion Foster, on the Gospel Book Program on Radio Helderberg 93.6 FM. Transform Your Work Life is the title of the book that Graham Power and Dion Foster have put together. Turn your ordinary day into an extraordinary calling. Dion, I was very intrigued because I know what kind of a guy you are, and you're a good sort, and I know Graham as well. I was very surprised to see one of your chapters is called To Hell with the Church. And I just thought that was very intriguing. I wonder what that's all about.
Patricia, that's been a very provocative chapter, and I've had to answer quite a few questions
on
that one.
I mean, this is quite strong. I mean, this is a man of the church saying to hell with the church.
Well, of course, the reality is that that chapter is a very pro-church chapter. The whole chapter, I think it's chapter 8, if I'm not mistaken.
It's chapter 5.
And chapter 5.
And I'm sure it's the one when everybody gets the book, it's the one that'll be the most thumbed.
But, you know, it's based on a very simple principle. Jesus said to Peter, on you I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 18, verse 16. And there are two simple things that we need to learn from that verse. You know, for years I spent hours. I mean, when I was the minister of the Methodist Church in Somerset West, young guy, fiery, wanting to really build the church, I would spend 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to build the church. Mm. And I'd read Matthew 18, 16 many times, but never noticed that it says, "On this will I build my church." Jesus is the one who builds the church. And then he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there are two lessons that we need to learn there. Number one, Jesus builds the church, and he builds the church when we take it to the gates of hell. Now, if you think about it, the church, the place where the church should be most active is the place where the world has its greatest need. And that's one of the things that this chapter challenges people to do, to take the church to the gates of hell.
I think that's such an interesting thing because we so often think about bringing people into the church, but you're actually making the point of the church must go out there. We've actually got to be there at the gates of hell. That's why the church must go to hell.
Yeah, one of my friends, Ross Oliphir, always says the church should be building bridges, not walls, and it should be a port, not a fort. And I think that sums it up very nicely. You know, the intention of Christ's church is to make a difference in the world. I wonder if I can read a little section here.
Yes, please do.
From page 90, I wrote in the book, it says, "Let me ask you another question. If your church were to close its doors this week, who would notice that you were not in ministry any longer? Of course, the members who worship in your congregation would care, but would the hundreds of homeless people in your area notice? Would the hungry and the abused in your society realize that you weren't operating anymore? Would your closure impact on the sick and the elderly people in your community? How would the schools and the businesses in your community feel? Would anybody even notice if your church closed its doors?" And that, I think, is the measure of a church, whether it truly is God's instrument to bless and transform society. Mm-hmm. And maybe just to say, one of the emphases in this book, obviously, is to encourage people to take the church to one of the places where people struggle most. And the reality is that many people struggle in their workplace and their work life. Many people don't find joy there. They face conflict and difficulty. And it's so sad for me that there are millions of Christians in the workplace, and so few of us take up our responsibility to be the church at the gates of hell.
Very, very, very challenging indeed. Dion, you talking about being out ministering in the workplace, you also point out in your book, Transform Your Work Life, that Jesus was a man who was out there in the workplace for the vast majority of his life. We tend to think that Jesus' life was just 3 years of ministry, and we see him as a minister, as a rabbi, as a teacher in the traditional sort of church model. But he spent just about all of his previous years working. And he would have known about market issues. He would have known about poverty and about battling to make ends meet. And he'd have known about sales and networking and those sort of things.
Absolutely. In fact, in the book, I discuss two examples, the sort of quintessential ministers in the marketplace, and they're Jesus and Paul. Jesus was only an itinerant preacher for about 3 years of his life, from about the age of 30 to the age of 33. But from the age of 10, he served as a carpenter's apprentice and eventually as a carpenter. And it's likely that more people would have known him during his lifetime as a carpenter than as a preacher. Mm. And of course, in the book, I discuss that point when they say, well, you know, who's this Jesus? I mean, you know, we know him as the son of Joseph. And probably his tables and his doors and, you know, they were in people's homes. And because of the relationships that he'd built with people through providing good quality, good service, being an example of what it means to be submitted to God, people would relate to him in that way. And I found, particularly in the Power Group and with Graham, very often people find it easier to relate to us because we provide good work, good quality, we're ethical. Mm-hmm. All of those things become the door that opens the way for us to just gently say, well, why do we do things differently? Mm-hmm. Because God has a different way and a different desire. Paul, of course, is another example. Today, when we speak about tent-making ministry, we tend to think about people who run churches and have a second vocation. Yes. In Paul's day, it was actually the other way around. His primary...
He was a full-time tent maker.
He made tents. Yeah. And we read again and again in the book of Acts that every time he tried to establish himself in the pulpit, so to speak, every time he went into the synagogue, the Spirit would push him into the marketplace. Mm. And through the relationships that he had there, if you read the epistles, you'll see that the majority of the churches that Paul started were started through relationships in the marketplace.
Yes, very, very powerful indeed. Dion Foster has been my guest this morning on Radio Helderberg's gospel program. Transform Your Work Life is the book, but there's life beyond the book, because I think the book will challenge people enormously. There's some wonderful practical exercises and discussion questions for groups. You could maybe get a group of people at work together to discuss these. But Dion, there's more. We live in this wonderful technological age, and we can get in touch and get some advice and some prayer and some help. Tell us about that.
Well, the one place where everything, where you can find everything is just to go to my website, dionfoster.com. That's Dion with an I and Foster with an F and an R. So DionForster.com. There's also a blog for the book, which is Transform Your Work Life, one word, .wordpress.com. So transformyourworklife.wordpress.com. And of course, we wouldn't be anywhere if we weren't on Facebook.
Of course.
So if you go onto Facebook, just search for Transform Your Work Life, two words, work life, and you'll find our page there. And by all means, interact. If you've got a prayer request, if you want to share a testimony, if you'd like to connect with Graham or myself, please do that.
That's an absolutely wonderful idea, because as we've been talking, I think this book will inspire a great many people to go out there and to make a really good start. But it's wonderful to have this ongoing support that one could get. I know a lot of people feel maybe undervalued at work or underappreciated. They struggle with really a difficult boss or a difficult colleague. And just to know that you have that support in prayer. Perhaps they feel very alone in the work situation. Maybe they are the only Christian there. It's a very small company. You know, just to have that support then, the prayer support that can come, that it can grow and that transformation can come. Dion Foster, thank you so much for writing this very inspiring book. I think a Transform Your Work Life certainly can do that and will do that. And wonderful stories that you have in here of how the simplest thing of a woman praying has been able to transform a company, which has made changes in a country, which has made changes in the world. And I think that's an incredibly inspiring book indeed. Transform Your Work Life is available today to two listeners. And it's very simple. All you have to do is give me a call at the studio. That's 021-852-7959. And I want to know either of the names of the two men involved in the group. It's written by two people. One of them, my guest this morning, the other, a very well-known personality in civil engineering circles and in the Helderberg Basin. Give me a call, 021-852-7959. We're going to listen to a beautiful song called Child of My Father while you give me a call.
I'm holy.
Beautiful song there from Cheryl Keege, Child of the Father, being right where you need to be. Lot of calls for this book, Transform Your Work Life, Graham Power and Dion Foster. And my thanks to Dion Foster for a very interesting interview and an absolutely inspiring book. And you need to be looking out for this at your local Christian bookshops. Transform Your Work Life. An absolute must. Today, it's gone to Stian Smith and Hichu Papenfuss, two winners who'll be able to come and collect that book from the Radio Helderberg offices here at the Maxi Farm Garden premises, Maxi Farm Garden Paradise premises at the corner of the N2 and Hazelden Drive at the Somerset West Business Park. Transform your work life and do look onto the website. You can go on to www.dion, that's D-I-O-N, Foster, F-O-R-S-T-E-R.com, www.dionfoster.com, and also check out the blog, which is transformyourworklife.wordpress.com. Check them out also on Facebook. Just put in the words Transform Your Work Life and do look out for that book, an absolutely inspiring book. This has been the Gospel Book Program on Radio Helderberg 93.6 FM.
Every first Tuesday of the month at 10 o'clock for a mid-morning discussion about inspirational material that is currently available in the Christian media.